If you'll take out your outline, first question is, I want you to do a little self-examination as we get started. What would you say is your biggest worry? Your biggest worry that from time to time maybe interrupts your sleep, and in the middle of the night you find yourself waking up and thinking about this, and better yet, maybe your top three. Your top three. You know, whatever age you are, there's always something to worry about. There is. I remember when I was a teenager, there's always a famous fad that everybody wanted, you know. So there was the Air Jordan. I'm going way back here, Cody. You probably don't even heard of those things. Anyway, this was a big deal back in 1985. And everybody wanted a pair. I never got a pair. But everybody, and so my friend, he didn't have the money for Air Jordans. His father took him out to Kmart, and he got a knockoff pair. They kind of looked like them. They were kind of designed the same. He wore them to school, and everybody laughed at him and said, Kmart special, Kmart special. He never wore them again. I don't know what happened to those things. But when you're a teenager, you're worried about fitting in, right? You want to have the right style. You want your friends to accept you. That's what you are. That's your big thing that you're worried about. And then you see that somebody special, right? You've got there, and you start talking to them, and you're wondering, do they want to talk to me? Do they like talking to me? Will they talk to me again? And you're worried about that. Or maybe if you go on a date, then you're worried, are they going to ask me to go on a date again? Did they like that? Did I say something wrong? And so then eventually you find that special someone that you're going to marry, right? Well, your stresses are over, right? Because you've found them. And then after a while, after you get married, you learn that things weren't quite as exactly as you thought they were going to be. And then you start thinking, well, you know, our relationship is just not what it once was. We're just not as close as we once were. But don't worry. Your worries are over. You have a child. Right? Child. No more worries. This is God's greatest, most wonderful gift, a child to us. But then we have the child, and we worry about how can we take care of the child, and what's going on in their life, and are they doing okay, or are they having problems in school? And you start going through all those different things, and then at the same time, you start noticing you got little wrinkles popping up, you know, and you're stressed and worried, because and then you're starting to put on weight, right? You put on the weight like, oh no, what's happening? I'm putting on all this weight. So, and by this time, you know, your children are getting older. They're becoming more independent. They leave home. Your worries are over. No problem. Well, we're still concerned about them, aren't we? We're worried about what they're doing and where they're going, and they don't always tell us. We kind of find out afterwards. We find out what they've done. They make decisions, and then we're like, oh, really? You know, we find out about these things. There's a lot of concerns that we're worried about, decisions they're going to make, and we get a little bit older, they move on with their own life, and then by this time we realize the battle with the wrinkles is over, okay, because they've taken over, and there's nothing we can do about that, and then our physical bodies don't exactly cooperate with us, and we're dealing with aches and pains, and then we're going to the doctor, and we're worried the doctor's going to give us something. The doctor's going to help us out. How's he going to help us through all? He's going to help me, and then we pray to God. So we're always something to worry about. But God created us with a nervous system. He created us that way, and anxiety can be a good thing. If you see somebody that's in danger and you're worried about them and you step in and help them, then you've saved their life and you've done something good. Or maybe you're hurting and you're not feeling good and you decide to go to the doctor, and because you worried about how you were feeling, it's a good thing. So anxiety can be a good thing, but it can also be a really bad thing. It can literally make us sick. The AMA said that before the pandemic, an estimated 75% of the trips that people made to the doctor were stress-related. Can you imagine right now how many stress-related trips we have to the doctor? Anxiety can make us sick. It can make us where we have a hard time digesting, where we don't get enough sleep. And then, but there's always a medicine that can help us, right? We can go to the doctor. He can give us pain meds. He can give us nausea meds. He can give us sleep meds. But do they ever really deal with what we're worried about? I read that the number one worry for women is anxiety. And the number one worry for men is drug abuse and alcohol abuse. Okay? And number two for men is anxiety. So we don't always go to the doctor. Sometimes we deal with other ways of dealing with worry. Drugs and alcohol and pornography. And I think one of the big ones today is shopping. Have you all seen all the Amazon deliveries around here? We have Amazon deliveries all over the place. Either people are moving into Girard or we got Amazon deliveries. And I happen to have a feeling that it's Amazon. And when the pandemic hit, what we learned was this is how I deal with stress, because everybody was stuck at home and they couldn't do the things that they dealt with their anxiety. But I really believe, I don't have the statistics on this, that anxiety has skyrocketed the last 2 years. It's gotten worse because we're still turning to those things and we're still stressed. When you get that Amazon delivery and you open it up and you're so excited, oh, this is so wonderful, pretty soon that wears off and you're back to paying the bill for Amazon and your stress is still there. So how do Christians deal with anxiety? Well, we do things the same way the world does, only we put a better face on it. We have little sayings that we use. Here we go. Stay blessed, don't be stressed. So sometimes we act like we're not stressed. So I had a professor, he would always say, how are you doing? He would say, rejoicing in the Lord. And you know, I really believe he was, but you know, that's pretty hard to do. It's pretty hard to live your life rejoicing in the Lord. I heard one preacher say, Joel Osteen, he said, don't you wish one day, Jake, if you'll flip it here for me, don't you wish one day, I'll keep on going, that Joel Osteen would appear on TV with a missing tooth? I mean, this guy has like a perfect, he's always looking good. He's always looking perfect. His hair is always done. He never has a problem. But wouldn't it be just one day if he had a little problem there? But some people always live like they don't have any problems. They're acting like they don't have a care in the world, because after all, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Well, I've been in a sermon series on a tough faith. You know, Christians have to deal with some stress. They will have to deal with anxiety, and it will invade your life. And there's only one way to deal with it, and that is through a tough, resilient faith. You know, sometimes a doctor can help when you have a chemical imbalance. Sometimes if you have a great emotional trauma, a counselor can help. But only Jesus can provide true spiritual healing. So today, we're going to be looking at one of the most popular verses in the Bible. And from what I've read, this is the most highlighted verse on the internet. So the problem is, because we've heard this verse so many times, we don't pay much attention to it because we've just heard it. So let's look at it one more time, and then we're going to dig deeper. Today I want you to look at it with new eyes. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 is where we're going to be looking. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It begins with these words, don't be anxious about anything. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? Look at the word anxious. In the original language, this is a word for a continual action. In other words, don't be in a continual state of anxiety. This doesn't say that you're never going to have an anxious moment. Remember, we looked at Jesus and he went through a great period of anxiety knowing he would die on the cross, and it lasted for part of an evening. But Jesus didn't live his life in perpetual emotional, mental stress. When the Apostle Paul writes these words in Philippians, he's writing from a prison cell. So he knew what it was to be worried, but he also knows the answer. So as we look at these verses in Philippians, let me give you some spiritual resources to help you when you find yourself worried to the point where you're feeling sick. The first resource is to have confidence in the goodness of God. So look back at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at the two verses before verse 6. Philippians 4, 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now I realize if you're full of stress and worry, hearing the word rejoicing doesn't really make a lot of sense. So how can I rejoice when things are going wrong? One of the biggest ways that Christians handle anxiety today is they try to control everything. Here we go, Jake. Go ahead and switch it to my next. Hey, there we go. Controlling everything. We try to control our environment. And when people control their environment, then they feel like they're in control. So they control their schedules, they control their finances, they micromanage their house, they micromanage family members, they micromanage friends, and sometimes even the church. And it works for a little while until something happens and reminds them, oh, wait a minute, I'm not in control. You can't control people. You can't control circumstances. It's a vicious cycle. But understand this, when you try to control everything, what you're telling God is, God, I can do better than you. God, I can make things turn out better. I can make it good. God, I don't really trust you to handle it. I can do a better job. So the question is this, do we really believe? Do we really trust that God is good? Listen to Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. So do we really believe that God is good? Here's another verse in Romans 8:28, and most Christians have this part memorized. They have this verse memorized. But I want you to listen to it again. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. If you really believe these verses, then you're going to be able to rejoice because you know, even though things aren't looking good, somehow God is going to work it out for good because God is good. That's who he is. That's how he always works. Well, somebody says, okay, that's fine, but I want all the details. I want to know how God is going to work it out. Then I'll believe in him. No, that's where faith comes in. Faith is when we trust God's unseen hand. There's a beautiful old hymn called Unseen Hand. These are some of the words. There's an unseen hand to me that leads me through ways I cannot see. While going through this world below, this hand still leads me as I go. It's a matter of trust. If you really believe God is good, then you're going to be able to remain calm when you face stress and when you face worry because you know that God is near. You can have a sense of joy because you're trusting in the goodness of God. So what do you do when you face anxiety and it makes you sick? Second resource, rely on God to give you what you need. Look back at Philippians 4 and verse 6 one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When you're under great stress, pour your heart out to God. No matter what the situation, tell God in detail what's happening. But do you know what we often do? We often tell a friend. Or when you're younger, friends. Okay, so you're telling this person that you trust and you believe, you tell them everything because they're going to listen to you. They're going to help you. And they'll listen to, because you've got this friend that will listen to everything. Okay? Nothing wrong with having a friend. And then we mention it at church, pray for this situation. But do we ever really just sit and talk to God? Do we ever really just pour our hearts out to Him? I think we should pour our hearts out to Him before we go to our friends. But we often go to our friend first. Remember, Jesus was teaching the crowds and he looked out and he saw all these people that were really, really poor. These people didn't even have food. Their main worry every day was, how am I going to get enough food just to eat? And Jesus said, why are you always worrying about where your food will come from? And he pointed to the birds of the air. He said, look at the birds. They don't plant fields and harvest, and God is good to them. He feeds them. He said, aren't you more valuable than they? I mean, think about this. Birds don't pray. Birds don't have prayer meetings. Birds don't go to church. But God takes care of them. Jesus would also say, you should pray, and God will answer you because he already knows what you need before you ask him. So when you're stressed, it's so important to come to God and tell him what you're going through. Unburden yourself. Come knowing that he will hear you and he will help you. But it says with thanksgiving. God is so good. If we really think about it, we'll remember how God has taken care of us. Can you think of a time in your life when you were really stressed and you were really worried and you prayed to the Lord and he took care of you? So when we come to him praying, we can be thankful, saying, Lord, you've always taken care of me. You've always heard my prayer. You've always helped me. So I'm coming to you now and I'm saying, Lord, please help me now. We pray to God, trusting that he will give us what we need. We don't have to live in anxiety. We don't have to let worry control our lives. We don't have to let it work us up to the point where we can't sleep. God has given us spiritual resources to help us. The third resource is that we need to trust God to give us peace. Now, I think everybody wants peace in their life. They want a lack of turmoil. They want a lack of pain. But for the Christian, it's promised that we can have peace. But I think a lot of Christians never really experience a deep peace from God. Philippians 4:6 says, after we present our request to God, after we tell God what is worrying us and stressing us out, God does something for us. Look at verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a deep peace. I can't even put it into words, but you'll experience this peace and it will guard your hearts and minds. And interesting enough, this is a military word for a guard. So we all have places that we would love to go, right? I got a place I've wanted to go. It's not like on my top 10, but it's a place I might want to go. Maybe in heaven I'll get a chance to go because I'm not going to make it in this world. Anyway, Buckingham Palace in England. I've always wanted to check that place out. And guarding the palace is the Royal Guard. Even today, there's guards like this that stand guard. They have horse guards and they have sentries, and they are known for their bearskin caps. These bearskin caps are 18 inches high, and they weigh 1.5 pounds. I mean, you got to have a strong neck to be a guard. And these guards are not to speak. People like to come and try to get them to react, but they're not to speak. On rare occasions, they are allowed to speak, but they're not ever to leave their post for any reason. Not even for restroom breaks. These are elite soldiers. They still stand guard today. You know, God never promised us that we would not have a life free of stress or anxiety, but when we pour out our worries to God, sometimes it may take a period of time. Remember, Jesus prayed for part of a night, but when he got done praying, he arose with confidence, ready to face the grueling task ahead. So after we pray, God will send us peace that will guard us from hopelessness and despair. A peace that will give us a sense of joy that nothing can destroy. Now let me just say that your stressful situation that you're concerned about, it may never be resolved right away. You may still have to go through pain and turmoil. You may even have to go through great difficulty. But you'll have this sense of peace while you're going through it. Remember Jesus, as he faced death, he told his disciples, my peace, this is John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Look over here, and this is in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30, this is what Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is it that bothers you? What is it that troubles you to the point where you can't sleep sometimes? Jesus has words for people that are burdened down. He says, come unto me. He says, I will give you spiritual rest. But we have to give them over to him. We can't live in perpetual worry. See, worry is a test. Worry pushes our faith. Difficult situations test us. They push us to the limit. But do we really believe in Jesus? Do we really believe what he said? Or are we just trying to be religious? Are we just trying to be act like we're a Christian? Anxiety exposes our true spiritual nature. Now, one of the ways that people deal with stress is there is constant busyness. This is how they deal with it. They're always keeping a frantic pace. They're always doing something. Today, they're always on their phone. They're always busy. They don't have time to pray. They're always busy doing things. The idea is if I'm busy all the time, then I never really have to deal with what is really stressing me out. But Jesus is offering peace to people who are stressed. He never says that you're not going to be stressed. He never says that you won't have to go to work, but he's offering you a life from the place of peace. So the question is, do we really believe in Jesus? Do we really believe what he said? You see, this is the key. If Jesus isn't really our Savior, if he isn't the most important thing in our lives, then nothing in this sermon is going to help. It doesn't matter what scripture I give you, if Jesus is not number one, then there's nothing that can help you with your worry. Only Jesus can fix it. So if you want to stop those worries and stresses from controlling your life, you have to reaffirm your belief in Jesus. So I want you to think about those worries that I had you think about at the beginning of the sermon. Go to the root of it. Why won't they stop? Where are we focusing our attention? Jesus said, come to me. The focus of our attention, if it is on that thing and we're constantly thinking about that and focusing on that, then that anxiety is going to get worse. Now remember, it's not just bad stuff. Good stuff creates good stress. You got things that you love to do, you got to plan them, you got to do things. It takes a lot of attention. It takes a lot of busyness to do even good things, and that causes anxiety also. But today we hear that people are supposed to love yourself, comfort yourself, soothe yourself, take care of yourself, and then say a little prayer. Well, that's a recipe for stress. And Jesus didn't say, go home, take care of yourself, and when you're feeling up to it, come to me. Jesus says the first thing he says, come to me. Jesus didn't say, go to the doctor when you're weary and heavy laden, and they will give you rest. So let me qualify this. I believe in doctors, and I believe in counselors, although there's some I wouldn't recommend. I would never recommend a non-Christian counselor. I don't think that's going to be very helpful. But the problem is, it's not the doctors and counselors. The problem is, it's where people go first. People go first to the doctor. They go first to the counselor. They go to these health professionals, and that they're supposed to fix everything. And after they go to the doctor, and after they go to the counselor, then, oh yeah, well, I'm going to say a little prayer too. No, that's not the way it works. Those doctors can prescribe multiple medications, right? Have you noticed, and you all know better than me than this, not a lot of them work. How many of you have got medications the doctor's given you that didn't work? Okay. That is a universal thing. They can't fix everything. They can't fix it with a medication because some problems and stresses we're dealing with are spiritual of nature. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor or counselor. I've been to one myself a few times. What's wrong is that's the first place we go, and Jesus is an afterthought. So if you don't truly believe in Jesus, okay, if you're not really living for Him, then there's nothing a doctor or a counselor can do to fix your anxiety, because Jesus is the answer. So I know it sounds very simple, but it still comes down to faith. The reason that we're overrun by stress and worry is that in our heart, we really don't believe what the Bible says. We're going through the motions. We're quoting scriptures. We're going through it. But in our heart of hearts, we're struggling with believing that it's true. Maybe we want a quick fix. Maybe we think, okay, if I just make it to church one Sunday, it'll fix everything. If I just say a quick prayer, Jesus will take care of everything. But one of my favorite verses is so simple. It says it all, and Jesus told His disciples in John 14:1. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in Me." So let me ask this question. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe that He's the Son of God? Do you really believe that He's the way, truth, and the life? Do you really believe that He died and that He rose again? Do you really believe that He's in control? Do you believe that He's going to come again? You see, I can't tell you how things are going to turn out tomorrow. But I know one thing. I know Jesus is real. I know He's always good. So I'm able to keep a calm, peaceful spirit about me because I'll never stop believing in Him. So are you tired of carrying those burdens and stresses? Jesus promises peace. He promises rest for your soul. And He calls you to come to Him today. So let me have prayer right now. Dear Lord, I am praying for those that are hurting right here. Anyone that's listening, Lord, for those that are hurting, those that are stressed, Lord, those that are worried, or they have something they're carrying that they're not giving over to You, Lord, I pray that they may find peace, that they may give it to You. I pray that You'll strengthen their faith and that they'll truly believe. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful old hymn is one that I've always loved, and during times of stress in my life, this is one of those hymns that's carried me through. Sometimes a hymn like this will carry you through during difficult times. So let's all stand and sing this as we trust the Lord, we trust Jesus.